Hello and welcome to Ditching Hourly. I'm Jonathan Stark. And today I am joined by Carrie Grinter. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi. Good to have you. Nice. It looks like a nice day there. I know this is audio only for most people, but got a beautiful garden outside with some goats in it wandering around, eh?
Eating stuff.
Yes. So let's start off by telling folks what you do. Could you kind of give folks a background about where you're at right now and with your business?
Yeah, I'm a Pilates teacher. I teach in Northamptonshire in the UK. I started 24 years ago. So I was kind of at the beginning of the sort of explosion of Pilates in the UK at the time. Now I run the business with my son, who was 6 when I started training and is now 31. I was hoping to retire, or not retire, but kind of wind down a little bit at the beginning of last year. And then this bug thing came along and threw a spanner in those particular works and plans. So, so here we are, a year and a half on, having had to transition kind of overnight into online, ditch face-to-face temporarily. And now we're building back up again. So that's where we're at.
Fascinating. So let's talk about the remote challenge, the not face-to-face challenge first, because Pilates, for those who don't know, has like a bunch of kind of large equipment. So how do your remote people deal with that?
Okay, so we predominantly are mat-based. Okay. So we do mat classes with small equipment. We do have reformers in our main studio, but we were teaching in 4 locations across the county where we live. Mm. My main studio is based at the County Cricket Ground in Northampton, where the equipment stuff was. So we literally had to shut that overnight. Mm. And that was quite tough, to be honest, because I started there in, I always jokingly say, I started my business last century, because of course I did. I started at the cricket ground in 1999, March 1999. So it was exactly 21 years almost to the day that I started there. Mm-hmm. And I found myself on the day before lockdown having to, you know, close the building, turn the lights off and, you know, set the alarm and padlock the gates. Mm. Driving home in tears, thinking this is 21 years of my life, and my working life has been in this building. And, you know, I don't know when we're going to go back in there again. And so as it happened, it wasn't until the 1st of October.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a long haul to get back to class in my studio. Mm.
And do you rent that or you own it?
No, I rent it.
And were you paying rent the whole time while it was closed?
Yeah. So no, they were great. I was really lucky that, you know, actually they were really, really understanding. So so yeah, we were good, unlike a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we literally in 9 days, we turned it around. So, I mean, at the time of COVID closing down the world, we had 400 people in class every week in 3 venues paying a monthly direct debit. And that went overnight.
Wow.
So we had to sort of, you know, email everybody and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go online. We dropped the price right down to literally a fiver a class because we didn't know that we could deliver it.
Right.
And, you know, our sort of USP has always been small classes, hands-on. You know, it's we're not there. I haven't got a microphone I could run a small nation with. I'm not bouncing around, you know, in leg warmers or whatever, having my own little workout. I've spent 24 years bending over people on the floor or pulling springs or, you know, moving equipment around. Right. So that's been our passion, if you like. And I guess a lot of the people we teach are people with back problems. So that's been our sort of speciality. Mm-hmm. So it's like, could we do that? Could we deliver that online? So we dropped the price right down. And we had We gave them two options. So option one is we put your direct debit on hold until we can start again. Mm-hmm. Option two, we reduce your direct debit to £5 a class, and we put you into an online class. And some of them came up with option three. And option three was, we want to do online, but keep the money the same. Don't reduce the money. I'll carry on paying you what I was paying before.
Mm-hmm. So isn't that interesting?
Cue lots of crying.
Right? It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had, so just to maybe commiserate there, I have two similar situations in my life where I'm the customer. And yeah. One was my personal trainer who I saw twice a week for years. And I was like, when it first happened, he didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what Zoom was. He's just not a computer guy. And, I was like, well, he just was like, well, I guess we'll just stop having appointments until we see what happens. I was like, no way, dude. Like, I won't do anything. And he was like, well, I'll just make you the weekly, the two sessions each week. He has this little like plan and he's like, I'll just keep making your plans and send them to you. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me. And I was like, all right. And he sent them to me and I did one. And then I was like, I just couldn't make myself do it without someone kind of like, not yelling at me, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I insisted that I don't think I'm remembering this wrong. I think I explained to him what could work. And yeah, in 1 week, he had all of his clients plus some new ones that were remote doing remote Zoom classes, because the value isn't in me showing up at the gym. I mean, there's some good things about that. There's equipment there that I don't have at home, obviously. Like, I have pretty much no equipment at home. But the importance was just having an appointment with another human being that I wasn't going to skip, wasn't going to reschedule. I was going to actually do it. It was an official meeting in my calendar. And without that, I was just not doing it. It was just not happening. So, you know, and then the question of money is like, well, you know, in their minds, the seller's mind, it's like, well, this isn't as hard for me. I don't have to travel. They're not getting the hands-on whatever. But at least in my case, in the buyer's mind, that's not really what I'm paying for. What I'm really paying for is to actually do it. And I know that if I don't have an appointment with another person, I am not going to do it. And then, you know, before you know it, 2 weeks turns into 2 months, turns into 2 years. And now I have back problems again, or now I'm whatever, not happy. And the same thing with my karate school. So myself and my two kids are all in the same karate school, and they did the same thing. They switched over to Zoom. And the way they did it was similar to yours, your plan, where they were like, we don't know what we're doing, not computer people, but we don't know how long this is going to be. So they made a really quick, and theirs was the same, similar with you. They have probably about 400 students, very complicated, very difficult communication thing with the email and all that, and like everybody on the same page and teaching them how to use Zoom and making sure they're in the right class. And their payment thing was, we don't know how this is going to work, if this is going to work. So you can opt to stop getting charged monthly, or did they offer a discount? No, I think they just said it's going to be free. Yeah, they just made it free. It wasn't even a choice. We're not going to charge anybody's card for like the first month, I think. And after that, definitely by the end of that first summer, they were like, okay, we're going to start charging again. So, you know, it was kind of like up to everyone if they were going to stick with it. And I don't think they had gone back to any in-person. It might have been, it doesn't matter. But the point is that it was, I appreciate what a huge undertaking that is to switch into an online version.
Yeah.
But just to give you some reassurance from the other side, and maybe you've heard this at this point, the appointment is the important thing, really, for me.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what was your experience? And this is actually going to factor into pricing and other things too. So it's not just a fun walk down memory lane, or not so fun walk down memory lane. So what ended up happening? You know, we're months and months and months into this.
We lost a few people completely because they didn't want to do Zoom. We kept a lot of people and we gained a few people. So people that had moved away and then hadn't been able to sort of, you know, recreate the experience they'd had with us was so like, yay, I'm back in class. So that was lovely. We've had a bit of a mixture, really. We upped the prices after 3 months to a slightly more sensible price. So we went from £5 to £8.
But it's still per class.
Yeah, per class.
So you didn't go back to monthly.
Oh no, we just changed the direct debit. So it went from, I think it was about £35 pre-lockdown down to £16, then went up to £26.
Okay, and they're entitled to some number of classes for that. Is it use it or lose it, or?
The way we run our classes, we basically run in 6 blocks through the year. So it's 39 weeks. And that's where the pricing is always quite tricky because we're not a sort of a gym. Mm-hmm. It's not open sort of 24/7. Mm-hmm. We haven't got loads of teachers. We limit numbers. We only have a set number of people in each class. Mm-hmm. So that's where pricing, has always sort of caught me out in the past, I guess. And it does for lots of teachers who teach like I do. Mm-hmm. Because we don't run drop-in classes.
Right.
Quite bossy, really, quite strappy. It's like, we do this, we don't do this.
Right. So now that you are doing remote stuff, Zoom stuff, would drop-in classes actually be a problem? Or is it really important to keep the class sizes?
We still keep it to 12. Mm-hmm. We never teach more than 12. So actually, that's not strictly true. If I see people on the wait list and I know them and I know my class because I've been teaching for so long, I might let a couple of them in. Mm-hmm. But I do what I'm doing here now with you. I am sitting. I mean, I'm looking at my laptop, but above that, I've got this big screen and then I've got sort of 12 little squares and I'm going, Sue, move your bum. And, Jonathan, it's not gynecology for beginners. Boring those legs in a little bit. And did you think about what you were wearing today? That's the bawdy side of my teaching.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sure.
That comes out quite a bit. But, does help them get their alignment a lot better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we still keep those classes kind of, it's as hands-on as it can be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to compromise. I don't want to teach 50 people. What would be the point of that? I'm not teaching them. I'm just shouting instructions. And any idiot can do that. And quite honestly, do it for free. There's enough free crap on YouTube and Christ knows what else out there. Don't pay for it. Don't pay to watch somebody else have a workout. That's bonkers in my book.
Yes, but they don't get the body humor that way. So
no, they don't.
So there you go. Value add.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I want to come back to the different ways to price this, the pricing models, and but first let's talk about even though it's a weird situation, let's talk about current. Think about where you are currently. Kind of describe that. The class, the enrollment has roughly netted out equally, but you've decreased your prices by 25% or so. So that's not great. And I assume it sounds like you do have the studio back open.
Yeah, we're back open now. We opened the 1st of June, we started back, but then we had a problem because my studio is quite small. And then what we know about COVID is there's less risk on sort of surface transmission, but it's kind of airborne. So because the studio is smaller, then had to go and buy 2 air cleaning machines. So they're running constantly that we're in there. And we started off having 7 people in the studio instead of 12, just to see. And actually that was the restrictions as well on the size of the space. So we couldn't have more than 7 people. So we had to start back. We put the prices up face to face. That went up by £1. Mm-hmm. And it's also meant that I had to teach more because we couldn't really afford to pay a teacher to teach a class when we've only got 7 people in the room. Mm. So I've been sort of having to teach more. We've just got back now to, we start back the week after next with a class of 12 again. So we're back to our class of 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And we've rejigged the timetable quite a bit too.
Okay, so what does that mean for the Zoom stuff? You're going to keep doing Zoom stuff, do you
think? We'll keep doing Zoom, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got a whole raft of pricing stuff now.
Yeah.
So it makes my head spin. I leave it to my son, you know, his brain's younger than his mother's. So, and I've never been good with numbers. So I'm much better with kind of words and stuff. So
do you intend to like, even if the studio, even if the pandemic is completely over, would you still keep the Zoom stuff?
Yeah. Without a doubt. It would be absolutely bonkers to get rid of it because it's worked so well for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of pre-pandemic, we just had one offering. Well, there are two. We had Mac class or Reformer class, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got people doing one Mac class a week. We've got people doing one Zoom class a week. We've got people doing one Mac class and one Zoom class a week. Mm-hmm. We've got people doing group form class, the whole shebang. So, you know, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the same experience with our karate school. We're doing, the kids are doing one socially distance in person. They're still not allowed to be max capacity where we are. So they've got masks on and they're spaced way out. And then we do one Zoom class with them each week. So they're still doing, you're supposed to do at least two classes a week. And and it's, I mean, as the chauffeur of the family, it's pretty nice. My wife did some chauffeuring this week, but usually it's me driving back and forth and back and forth. So being able to cut that in half is pretty nice. And it's, you know, of course there are some things in the class that you can't do in the house just because of space constraints. We don't have like a giant basement. So, you know, doing like, you know, jump spinning back kicks, just kind of like smash into the TV.
And take the light fittings out. Really popular.
Right. So do you notice, is there any pattern either demographically or psychographically between the folks who seem to prefer the Zoom experience for all the reasons, don't have to travel, don't have to whatever, brush your teeth, you know, and then the in-person, is there a group of people that just hated Zoom and couldn't wait to get back into the class? And what do those people have in common? And are there people who much prefer the Zoom experience?
It's honestly, you would think that it was going to be the older people that would hate the Zoom and be absolutely resistant to it, and the younger ones that didn't want to do it. There is no, there's no pattern whatsoever. It's beyond bizarre, if you like. We've got older people perfectly happy on Zoom, and we've got others that, you know, just couldn't wait to get back. Then we've got younger people that just wanted to do Zoom because it kind of suited them. People with young children, absolutely the best thing ever because, you know, I haven't got to get a babysitter, I haven't got to wait for my husband to come home, get off the train,
so
or
much less
anything
stressful,
like that. Yeah, it's just, it's completely random. We've got people that have got health, you know, they're clinically vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So they're happy because that they can stay safe and they're still getting their Pilates class, you know, they're still keeping backs healthy and heaven knows what else. So geographics take as a little bit of that because some people were driving quite a long way to come to a class. So, you know, they're happy that they're not spending 2 hours to do a 1 hour Pilates class.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right. There's no sort of rhyme or reason to any of it. Okay. I wish there was, I could sell it.
Well, there's a little bit of rhyme and reason, people with little kids and people far away. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, it seems obvious, but that's...
It's vulnerable, yeah.
Yeah, and people who are horrible, right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that...
Take all of that away, and then the mixture is just completely random. You know,
it's... Yep. Yeah.
People that have been, you know, not far from the grab, that from the studio, just did not want to do online at all. People didn't want to do it because they're online all day. So I just want to get away from it.
Yeah, I don't do the online karate classes because I'm on Zoom all day. So it's like, I was like, I can't do it. Yeah, not doing it. I love karate, but I'm not doing that. So I tried a few and I was just like, oh man, it's like being on Zoom 12 hours. It felt like extended, because my class would be like, I'd be on Zoom 3 times during the day, 4 times maybe for 5 hours, and then, and then after dinner, like 8 p.m., go back on. I'm like, oh, so then I'm like
No
on
way.
Zoom until 9 p.m. So yeah, so I totally get that.
The one thing that I did notice after about 2 months in, it was we've got quite a lot of older people. So people in their late 60s, 70s, early 80s that are in our classes. And I think for some of them that live on their own, it was awful because all of a sudden you had a little snapshot of what your life may well be like when you are not able to do, to get out
Oh,
and about.
wow. Interesting.
So, and that sort of struck me after, just talking to a couple of them. So I found that what I was doing was I would log on early and I'd start chatting if they came in, and I would leave it running at the end, and I'd go off and make a cup of tea and just leave them chatting between each other, because they just
That's
needed
amazing.
it. But it's, all of it. I jokingly call where I live incontinence close. Because everything beyond me down there is a bungalow. It's God's waiting room. So the ambulances come thick and fast up my road, but
Wow.
it's really quiet. But I can remember somebody saying, a friend of mine used to sort of help a friend who had a florist. And every Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas Eve, he would help and do the rounds. And he would come to a few of the people down there and he hated it on Mother's Day, hated it. And the reason he hated it was because he said, I'd go up to some little old dear, give her a bunch of flowers, and it would, and she'd be just disappointed because all she's got was a bunch of flowers from her kids because they can't be asked to go and see her. So suddenly, these were my lovely clients who normally would have a very busy lifestyle and be, out and about and coming to class, and suddenly nothing, all gone. You can't go out, you can't shop, you're stuck there. And you kind of think, hell's bells, is this going to be me in 20 years' time when I'm incontinent and can't walk or need my Zimmer frame? Is this? And you've got that snapshot of life. And actually, that's when the mental health stuff really kicks in. If that's, that's almost that contact on a weekly basis. And a chat after class is way more important than, throwing your legs around in the air.
Right. How well did these people know each other before lockdown?
Get to know each other because I've still got the first person that ever got in touch with me when I first qualified in 1997. She's still in class, so that's because I'm just such a crap teacher, probably. She's hoping she'll get better. But they do tend to stay. We have incredible longevity with our clients, so they do get to know each other. So yeah, it was really nice for them to see, the same faces. We've tried to put them into the same classes. We had a pretty much a similar timetable to what we had before, as much as we could. So the same faces were in. So yeah, they were kind of catching up a little bit and how are you doing and all of that. So
Did you get anybody in Zoom? I know you said you got some people back in Zoom, but did anybody brand new start without ever having seen you in person? How did those clients come in?
I just kind of went on Instagram and Facebook and just did stuff in the studio, did stuff in here. At sort of, I'm an early riser, so I would get up and kind of 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, come and do some Pilates. And then I thought, oh, this woman's mad. I'll do her class.
So you, in your bio, you had a link to the school website or whatever.
So they'd kind of join us and yeah. So
Interesting.
we yeah, and they've some of them have stayed online and some of them have come into face-to-face classes now too. So
Are most of them like reasonably local to you, or are they from all over the place?
the ones that are coming in are relatively local. We do have I think we've got somebody's mum who's down in Devon, which is a long way away, obviously, down down on the South Coast. I think she's in class. We had a couple of people move during lockdown, so they've kind of left the area, so they've carried on, but from wherever they've gone to.
Okay, interesting. But still, most people are, I mean, you're not getting people from the United States.
Not so far, no.
Yeah, right, exactly, not yet.
But who knows?
Maybe now.
If you've got a dodgy back or your pelvic floor is hanging between your knees, then feel free.
Well, I do have a dodgy back, and I went to Pilates. There's a Pilates studio right around the corner from me, and years ago, it was bad, and someone suggested that I go over to see Cheryl Turnquist, and I went, and it was great. Totally worked for my lower back. Yeah, it was fabulous. Yeah. I should go back, actually. Or maybe I'll just take your class. So, but we did Reformer. We did the machines and stuff. I did a few. They had, I think they're called TRX classes, which isn't Pilates, but, you know, still, like, I don't think it's Pilates, but.
It's, I mean, I think some of the stuff that you know, Joe was doing on the Reformer and the Tower and stuff is almost exactly the same as the sort of stuff you may do on a TRX machine. So it's kind of gravity and stuff. So,
right. Yeah. It is a good thing to, I would imagine it's one of those things that you kind of can get away with, you know, it's like in karate, you kind of can too, but you know, it's good enough. And when you bring in all the other aspects, like you don't have to commute, you don't have to worry about getting a babysitter, you don't have to worry about getting sick, even if it wasn't a pandemic, you know, some people are germophobic and all of that stuff, then it's like, okay, this is still, helping me physically, which is sort of the ostensible surface level articulation, the explicit articulation of what the benefit is. But there are all those other benefits that are, I think once you, and I suppose you could sell those benefits as well. And then, but certainly once someone has the experience, they, you know, may or may not consciously recognize it, but there are going to be these other things that they derive value from, you know, that all of these things.
I think as long as you lot are out there bending over a keyboard or a phone or, you know, I mean, the first thing I do when I see somebody one-to-one, when I'm sort of, you know, trying to explain about what we're going to be doing is I show them a picture of the skeletal system with the plumb line. Yep. And then I give them a 5-kilogram medicine ball. Uh-huh. And they're like, holy poo. And essentially, and I say to them, okay, so hold it out in front of you so that your abs kick in. Mm-hmm. And one's really heavy, Karen. Yeah, that's your head. The average, but when you tangibly hold something that heavy, because the average head weighs between 4.5 and 5.5 kilograms. Mm. So, you know, if you think that every time you spend shoving a mouse, chin poke posture, or driving, you know, and that's what most of our clients do. They're spending hours over a keyboard or a tablety thing or a steering wheel. And then they get home and they sit on the sofa and they've got a remote and then they've got a beer. Great, it's like being an undertaker. Never going to be out of business, am I? So joint mobility, and it doesn't matter whether it's your spine or your hips or your knees or whatever else, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just getting you moving. And that's why we've kept to small classes and why even online we've kept to small classes, because I want to be looking at people. I want to be able to give them that feedback to sort of, you know, stop them normal posture, try and open stuff up a little bit.
Yep.
It's just getting them to think that actually, yeah, this is worth paying for.
Right.
Because I can do it for free. I can do it with Joe Wicks. We have, actually you might not know Joe Wicks. Over here, there's this, this bloke called Joe Wicks, who's like a personal trainer, but he got on board with lots of, you know, publicity stuff, and he's been on Breakfast TV and CBeuse, which is kids programs. And then I get people saying, oh, I'm really hurt my hip, Karen. So how did you do that? Oh, I was doing Joe Wicks with my grandchildren. You're 65. Why?
Yeah. Well, so you're actually bringing up an interesting point. So there's pros and cons to having gone online. which on the one hand, now you could start getting clients, or what do you call them, clients or customers?
Yeah.
So now you could start getting clients from the United States, but you're also in competition with every other, you no longer have this kind of insulation of being perhaps, you know, one of very few number of Pilates studios in a geographic region. There's a little balancing act to do there, you know, but maybe you could go on morning TV. You certainly have the personality for it. So get more people in your class. So if you were going to, so let's think capacity wise, right? Because I mean, well, you know, I kind of skipped over a piece because I'm making a big assumption. I think before we started recording, you mentioned retirement, you know, like, you know, 1 to 3 years down the line, where would you like the business to be?
My son happily running it and me doing whatever I choose to do whenever I choose to do it.
Got it. Okay. So that's good. You've got a succession plan in place.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. So that answers that. And is the, how far away, like what's the difference between now and then? Is it, does it seem like you're kind of on the path to that, or does it seem impossible?
I think we're literally in the last few weeks, I just feel like I'm beginning to sort of see that could happen.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, beginning of this year, I couldn't see that was going to happen because we were, you know, we'd had the horrible Christmas crap and we're in lockdown again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's sort of, I am concerned about what the future is going to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, it's at the moment, everyone is spending money.
Right.
Quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, over here we've got a real shortage of HGV drivers because we've also had to deal with Brexit. Mm-hmm. So you can't get a table in a restaurant for love nor money because they haven't got staff. So you know you have to book months ahead if you want to go anywhere decent. A lot of the big restaurants are only open for dinner or they're only open for lunch because they literally cannot do a full service restaurant thing.
Because of the staff, not the tables.
Haven't got staff.
Yeah, same here.
We've got HGV drivers. We're about 100,000 short, apparently. So we've got a supply chain problem going on now. I've just had to drive 10 miles to try and find a fennel bulb, which is August. Sorry for anyone sort of green listening to this. I do kind of worry that, you know, we've got lots of people inquiring about our classes at the moment. Is this going to last? What's this landscape going to look like in 12 months' time? Mm-hmm. We've had furlough stuff here. I don't know whether you had that in the States, but we, you know, Boris was paying loads of wages for people. A lot of people have been, you know, getting paid for doing nothing. So there's loads of jobs going.
Right.
But I mean, you know, and this may sound really horrid, but there's a lot of really lovely people from Europe and particularly Eastern Europe were doing the jobs that Brits didn't want to do. Mm. So tax-paying Brits like me have now got to pay them to still not work. I don't know.
Yes, well.
So it's, you know, it's maybe that's a little controversial, but
yeah, we don't want to get in a wrestling match. But the big point is, it's just very unclear what's going to happen. Like,
yeah,
right. So is it going to last? Yeah. So I think. Well, so the good news is you've demonstrated over 20 years that you know how to keep a client.
Yes, thank goodness.
Somehow, right. So it feels like your churn, which would be like the number of people who leave every month, your churn would be probably remain pretty low as long as you could keep adding people into the customer life cycle. So how many, let's talk about capacity. In your current configuration, how many students could you handle? I think you said 400 at one point, but I think that was in person.
That was over three venues. I think at the moment we're about at just over 300 in two venues. So we lost a venue essentially because that closed down last Easter. So mm-hmm. that's gone and we've not gone looking for another one.
Okay.
I mean, our biggest issue is teachers, because we're very fussy about the quality of the teachers we have, but we also pay them really well too. You know, they don't work for, you know, 20 quid an hour, which is what they're likely to get if they work in a big gym chain, for example. So, but then we expect more of them. And I think it's, and that's the difference is, you know, we are, our service is very different. You know, we're not open 24/7. We're not open 7 days a week. We're not open 365 days of the year.
Yep.
But you're in the same class every week, so we get to know you. Whereas some of those big gym memberships, you know, you're paying to use the facilities. Whether you actually turn up and do that is neither here nor there. And they're banking on most of you actually not doing that,
sure,
aren't they?
Of course.
The last thing they need is everyone turning up, because they would be. But, you know, and if somebody takes any notice of you, then, well, you're doing well. So our model is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, your model is very similar to my karate school. So,
excellent.
Right, because there's one thing they do that's slightly different. I wonder if it would be a good idea for you. It's a little bit of a pain to set up, but the way it works is that you pay a monthly fee and you're allowed to come to as many classes as you want. And that was true even before. The way it worked before was, as you might imagine, some classes were jammed, and some were like dead. And you never knew. You couldn't predict. I talked about it with them. I'm like, isn't there a way to kind of like smooth out this? He's like, you just never know. It's like, whatever, if there's a long week, you could always tell when it was a long weekend because the classes were Monday through Thursday. And if Monday was a holiday, the Thursday class would be packed, you know, and they have like, and the other thing is they're like probably four or five classes per night, you know, for different age groups, you know, there'd be like little champs for the kids 5 to 7 and then 7 to 9 and so on and so forth in the adult class. So they had like four or five classes going, two studios. So they're kind of overlapping. And it was just a crush of people in between classes, like, you know, changing in and changing out. So now that they've switched to, and it was a problem, they knew it was a problem, but they didn't come up with a way to solve it. So the way that they do it now, and they're not going to go back to the old way because they like it so much better, is that on Monday, they release a new,
the timetable.
Yeah. And you have to go in and register. And if, you know, and you're expected to show up, and there's not like a penalty or something. And in fact, I have canceled at the last minute, but it's like very embarrassing because you know that you're really taking somebody else's spot and they're not going to be able to fill it. And so you're really being a jerk. And if when now, of course, the classes are much more predictably sized. There's a, and it is a, I guess you would call it a use it or lose it policy because they, you know, you pay no matter how many classes you go to. You can go to as many as you want or as few as you want, technically. But there's also this social pressure to go to it. You're supposed to attend at least two classes a week. If you don't attend two classes a week, you could go to four. But if you don't attend two, you're going to hear about it. They're going to say, hey, I noticed you only came in once this week. What's going on? You know, and they're nice about it. But so, you know, like there's pressure, there's social pressure and other people in the room who, you know, I thought you were usually coming on Thursdays. I was kind of hoping we could have, you know, whatever, sparred or worked out together. So they have there's some structure and there's some social, there's some structure, technical structure, and there's culture. And those two things work together to keep people from not going enough. So you never feel like, oh, I don't even know how much it costs, to be honest, but you spent this so much per month and I didn't go at all. I'm such a loser. It's not their fault, but why am I paying for this if I'm not going? They solve that problem by kind of, you know, politely shaming you for not showing up instead of thinking like, yes, we got that money for free. They're like, because they know, well, first of all, I think their hearts are in the right place and they want people to be progressing and get better. But they also know that if you're not coming, you're going to stop paying. So they address that, but now they've solved the problem with that it's all you can eat. It's an unlimited thing. You could come every single night if you wanted to. And that, like the gym problem, that could be a problem for them. But if you have to register in advance, it fixes it.
Do they, Do they limit the numbers in those classes?
Yes.
There are a cap. There must be a cap at some point.
Yeah,
So
there is.
we can only physically get 12 people in our
Right.
space.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't want, oh, well, as I said, there's no way I would teach more than 12 anyway, because I want that continuity with people. So our clients have a recurring booking. So they're in the same class every single week.
Oh, okay.
They don't have to book in. They're just there. They can swap out of it. You know, if they do that, do you remember that thing that we used to do called a holiday? If they, you know, they suddenly have that holiday thing happen again, then they can unregister. And they have a calendar year to catch up. So, you know, if you join in January, you've basically got 39 classes between now and December, as long as you are paying your direct debit. So if you've
Got
swapped
it.
Out of any classes, you have a calendar year to catch up with them. So it's up to you to look on the system and find a space and swap in.
Right. But you kind of just have, they kind of picked it once and then that's it until they change it at some point. So they're coming on Tuesday and Thursday at 5.
Yeah.
Forever.
That's it. Yeah. So they.
Okay. That helps.
And most of them. And I think, you know, because they're paying for it and they know, you know, I mean, I do have people sometimes, you think just sending money to my bank account is going to fix their back. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So that's okay. If you want to do that. But to be honest, if they do it a couple of times, then I do say, look, if you're not going to come, can I get the space away? Because, you know, somebody else could have it. So, and they, and, you know, and we've got email notifications. So if they don't turn up to class, if I mark them as you know, a no-show on the register, they get an email from me. We have this amazing booking system called Go Team Up, who are just fantastic.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Go Team Up. They are brilliant. I think the guys who build it are in the States somewhere. There's a team over here, but they are outstanding. I have to say, I've been with them quite a few years and I recommend them like crazy. And if anyone wants them, then please tell me, because if you get a referral from me, I get money, which is great.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I've got a dog to feed.
I've got a dog to feed.
So, but they are, I mean, they within days of COVID hitting, they managed to get together Zoom integration. We've got on-demand video stuff as well.
Wow.
So we can link all our on-demand. They were absolutely superb. I cannot praise them enough. If you need an online booking system for a kind of gym membership or sports stuff, they're just the very best.
That is very good to know.
Personally, I was with Mindbody and I just got sick to death of the price going up and up and up every single time. And, you know, oh, no, you can't have, if you want to do that, you've got to go up to the next level.
Yeah. I think the karate school uses Perfect Mind or something like that. And I know they don't like it. And
tell them to check out my Go Team Up then. I'll send you a link to them. You can check them out. They are just brilliant.
Great.
I'm very, very fond of them. Sorry, I slightly digressed off that.
Okay, so but you clarified that. So our karate school basically is all drop-in classes. That's all it is. But now you have to register for them. So would you be able to, well, I'm trying to see, like, where's the capacity? Where's the limit? Like, I mean,
it's times of day because it's, you know, it's, can you drop the kids off from school and then rock up to class? So, you know, 9:30 is a good time. Half one's quite a good time because then you've got the day free, then you can go and do class half one to half two, then you go to school run at the other end of the day. 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, around those times you're catching the end of the working day, depending on where people are.
So it sounds like kind of people who don't work during the day, or, you know, have the kid drop off thing. What about midday lunch type stuff? Is that just a dead zone?
No, it's not too bad. We have reformer classes that are fairly busy at sort of midday. So that seems to work quite well too. Our spread of clients is, I guess, the youngest, they're in their late teens, and the oldest ones are in their 80s. So there's a big spread of ages, abilities, requirements.
Okay. You know? And what, So you basically have two levers to pull for to create, you know, whatever, call it enough money to retire, financial independence or whatever. There's really, you could raise the price or you can increase the number of clients or some combination.
Yeah.
Right. Because it doesn't sound like, I mean, there's also the lever of cutting costs, but you're paying for teachers and you're paying for space. You're probably, you know, you like to pay more for teachers. So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of play in the cost cutting lever. So if you were going to, how would you, let's say you kept your prices the same, but doubled your clients, what would have to happen?
We'd have to have a bigger studio so we could run two classes simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to find probably five more teachers to be able to cope with the extra classes.
So you have five teachers now?
We have eight teachers now.
Okay.
We could do it with probably five more if they had consistent work.
Okay. Yeah. And do new teachers, is it kind of like the personal trainer model where they bring their own clients, or is it more like you pay them some amount of money per class and
we pay them monthly for whatever classes that they've taught.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all self-employed and most of them work elsewhere as well, or they do their own stuff too, as well as working for us.
Mm-hmm. Who actually charges the clients though? Do they or do you? You do.
We do. Okay. Yeah. Right. They just literally turn up, teach, go.
Okay.
We slightly more than that, as in, you know, there are a few things that we ask them to do, but generally, yes, we do all the organizing, the timetable, the whole system, all the backroom stuff is all done by us.
Good. Okay, good. And okay, so you wouldn't have to double staff to double the clients.
No, we could. We it's space. You know.
But what if the doubling was all in Zoom?
Oh.
Right.
We could probably do it with our existing staff if really? They wanted to do Zoom, and not all of them want to do Zoom.
Yes,
anymore.
Same thing happened at our gym. They lost like half their trainers.
Yeah, we've had some that will have stayed on Zoom because of where they live. They were traveling in to teach at the studio, so now they're happy to stay on Zoom. And we've got others that don't want to do Zoom. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a model where you could teach on Zoom, or maybe you do this already? Teach over Zoom from the studio, or does everybody teach from Zoom at home?
We all teach from Zoom at home. I teach from here, which is kind of like my little studio space at home. And the others teach from their homes. I guess it's partly because it's really easy to work from home on Zoom. You just need a mat.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be flashy at all. And it's kind of nice sort of, you know, seeing their houses and their pets and their, you know.
Yeah, it's a little more personal. Right.
So it's like, do you really need that chair? Because that's really nice. I've got just the place for it.
You like shopping.
Yeah, I know. And you know, you can mute them and then they can sort of, you know, kind of cough, sneeze, scream, fart. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Not the same in class, obviously. So
Right.
I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, pros and cons.
Yeah, exactly. Always.
All right. So that seems like a big potential. That seems like a big potential. Because you might have to hire different teachers, but you wouldn't have to dramatically increase your costs.
No.
You wouldn't have to go through it sounds like it would probably be, if you had to hire five teachers, it'd probably be pretty hard to keep them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the when we did all the sort of sums, when we were in, when we just had the online classes, I mean, all of a sudden, some of the costs that we'd had prior were just not there. So it was quite an eye-opener. But I guess, you know, while we were grateful that we were ticking over and, you know, we had such lovely clients keeping us going, I was desperate to get back in the studio and just to get my mitts on people.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Them.
Right, right.
But
you wouldn't want to do twice as much in person, probably.
Christ, no. I wouldn't want to do twice as much of anything.
Right. Half as much sounds better.
Yeah. I mean, if we could sort of spread it around with, you know, our lovely teachers that we have, and just, you know, having them working that suits them, and we keep everyone happy and the clients are happy and everything's ticking over, then that's the best kind of thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is it when you're sort of getting new people through the door, we get people email in and say, oh, I've done Pilates before, I've done it at my gym. And you know perfectly well that is not what we do. Mm. So, and I keep saying to them, you need to do a beginner's thing, or you need to do something, because I can't just drop you into class. It would be like turning up for intermediate Russian and you haven't done beginners. Yeah, it's a little extreme, I know, but it's, and people don't get that if they've never had experience of our classes. They really struggle to understand that. And it's like, well, what, and I've got to pay? And what, and you're only doing 39 weeks of the year? Well, why can't I come every week? So getting that across is quite difficult, and the pricing for that too, because it's, I mean, like the group reformer classes, if they do a reformer class with us, I'm trying to think, the membership for that, it's about £58 a month, I think. So that's, you know, and but they're only getting one class a week for 39 weeks. So how do you sell that? The benefits? Well, you know, there's only eight of you. I know what's going on with you. And you're going to get lots of attention. And you're going to get my attention. You're going to get my experience and my input to try and help you sort out your dodgy shoulder, your dodgy hip, your dodgy back.
Right. So that, yeah, keep going though, because the first half of what you said was features. In the software business, we'd call it, those are the features. It can do this. It's better than the other thing because of that.
Oh, that's clever.
How does it help? What's the benefit? Who cares if you're amazing at what you do? And the answer is because you're actually going to feel better. You're going to feel better faster with someone experienced who's got 20 years in the business, who has their original customer still coming to them. So, okay. So,
yeah, I'm probably going to have to stop her, aren't I?
I don't think so. So here's the...
You're never leaving, love.
Yeah. It's like a Stockholm syndrome. So I'm have this picture in my mind of using the studio, at least in part, and again, we're assuming there's post-pandemic at some point, using the studio as an onboarding kind of thing where new students have to come in, or certain kinds of new students have to come into the studio for like an orientation or an assessment or something like that. So they get the feel for it. And then if they do that, I have to imagine that they're going to be more likely to stay longer term than someone who just signed up on Zoom, never met you in person, never was in the room. And, I'm trying to imagine, because like if I did Pilates, and like initially, if I just like, I'm going to sign up for Pilates and I signed up online, I wouldn't have gotten it. Like I would not have gotten it at all. Because it's like you do need, it really helps to have somebody there, like you said, you know, like bending over you and like, seriously, bend backwards more or whatever it is. And you just like, that's impossible. I can't do it. And they'll just like hold your hand a little bit or something so you can feel that it's going to work. But once you kind of get the feel for it, I think I probably only did it, I don't know, 10 or 20 times, 10 or 20 classes. And then I was feeling a lot better.
And then did you stop?
I started doing martial arts at that point. Oh, I switched because then my back felt better.
You're still doing something.
Yeah. So, but they got me back on track. It was amazing. So it seems obvious. Okay. The other lever is price. So the other lever is price. I can tell from the story, like the fact that you lowered your price on Zoom, I can tell that you're probably reluctant to raise your prices. I'm guessing that you feel like there's a strong price sensitivity in your clients. And it would be, you know, raising the price would be met with pitchforks and torches.
But we did. We did put our prices up.
So but we not, only, not back up all the way.
We did.
You did.
We went,
I thought you said.
Yeah, we did. We went We went £5 online first, and now it's £8. Actually, it's not. It's £8 if you have a regular membership, and it's £9 for a drop-in. And then when we went back to face-to-face classes, we upped it to £12. We went up a pound.
On Zoom also?
On face-to-face classes. So Zoom classes, online classes are now £8.
Okay, so, but it's, I guess there's some confusion in my mind about,
sorry,
is it monthly or is it per class?
Oh, sorry, that's per class.
So but they pay monthly.
Yeah, they pay monthly.
And it's always the same number of classes.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's monthly. So I wouldn't even think of it as a per class.
Okay. Yeah.
So monthly is like 8 times 8 class, however many classes it is. What is it, like 8 classes? Or does it, it must change a little bit?
That's where it's slightly tricky to sort of try and explain to somebody, because we run roughly school term time, mm-hmm. which I know sounds completely bonkers, but I started out like that because I had a small child.
Yeah, you took summers off, right?
So I took summer off. I took, half term, Easter, that sort of stuff. And we just kept to it. Because we were more expensive than most classes, you know, and we're still more expensive than most, you know, local classes in the village halls that you can just rock up if you want to or not, you know, or someone says, oh, fancy going for a pint. Oh, I was going to go to Pilates, not come for a pint. So, you know, we are more expensive than most local classes. Mm-hmm. And we do get people say, oh, you're too expensive. And I won't. And there's a whole thing in the fitness world. There's these little trends that come along. And there's been a trend over the last few years that, you know, on your website, you are supposed to offer a free session. You're also supposed to offer a high value free gift. And it could be any old crap. But, you know, you sort of stick your brand on some recipes for kale smoothies or some other rubbish. Yeah. And you send it along to people to sort of try and draw people in. And if you look at most kind of fitness places, there's all this kind of guff going on, because that's what everybody else is doing. And I'm not interested in that. I just think, you know what, I know what I'm doing. If you want my services, you can pay for it. I'm worth the money, actually. If you want free, fine. You know, go and poke around on Tinternet.
You know what attracts people more than a free toaster? A line. If there's a line outside the restaurant, that's going to attract people.
Yeah.
So if you had a waiting list instead of a free gift or a free trial or whatever, a free session, and you can't sign up, you can't just sign up. You have to get on a waiting list.
Yeah. That's fine by me. Wait, yeah, I'm worth it, you know.
It demonstrates. Yes, you got the hair flip and everything. I wish this was video. Yeah. So, but if you did that, it is, here's the thing about the free class, and that puts all, that it has what my friend Blair N calls the stench of desperation. And it puts all the power in the client's hands.
Yeah.
It's making them the prize. You're desperate for new clients. You're so desperate for new clients that you're giving away free garbage. And instead of, if you flip it around and say, like, this is exclusive, and, you know, not in a fake way, but in a genuine way, because you want to be intentional and thoughtful about who you bring in, and they need to, like, qualify to be a client of yours, that has a powerful, attractive effect on people. And if that was the case, on your website, it's like, oh, click here to join the waiting list or to apply, and have them fill out this big form, right? So they have to do something, you know, tell us your medical history or whatever you would need to, whatever you, I'm sure you do ask people a bunch of questions.
Our phone is that long. Right. I tell people, don't do it on your phone. You'll just throw your phone at the wall. There are so many questions to answer. Right. You know, I literally practically need your bra size and inside leg measurement to get into class.
Right. So that's my response to the free session, free gift, garbage. That's garbage. So the
agree with me.
Well, you're doing so many things right. I do think the way that you presented the pricing to me was very confusing, and I do pricing all the time.
Okay.
You have monthly pricing. Is it the same every month? Same amount every month?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's monthly. It's not per class.
Yeah. So
they get a bunch of things for this monthly fee, including some classes.
Yeah.
So I would urge you, I think you will find that it's much easier to talk about it if you say it's monthly. It's a monthly subscription. It's like Netflix for your back. So
I'm going to use that.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
I used one the other day, actually. It was like, you don't clean, because I've been listening to your podcasts whilst walking the dog or driving to class. And there was one the other day that said, you don't floss your teeth 365 times per night before you go to the dentist. And I was like, yes, I'm so using that. Because the back pain, you know.
You have to keep up with it.
If you do it, you know, once, rocking up to class once a week, not going to fix your back.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. A little bit every day, just like flossing your teeth.
Right. And the other thing about the waiting list that ties into this kind of exclusivity is would be if you had a policy. I don't know if it's explicit or if you just invoke it when needed, but it might be good to explicitly say, if you cancel two classes in a row, you're on probation, and if you miss one more class after that, you're out.
That's brutal.
Right. But who's the prize? Yeah. Like, if you want to be the most expensive one, because here's the reason why. I mean, you could soften it, of course, but the idea, you could put it in a nicer than I just put it. But the idea is that the flossing story is what it's like. You're not paying for classes. You're paying for your back to feel good.
Yeah.
And your back's not going to feel good if you keep canceling classes. So I'm here to help you feel better. And I'm going to drill sergeant you a little bit if you're going for a pint instead of coming into class. And you know, my karate school actually is extreme. They have a better bedside manner than I do, which is probably why I don't run a karate school. But they would articulate it in that kind of a way. It's like, look, this is for you. If you are canceling, I don't want your money because your back is going to hurt. What you're selling is not classes. What you're selling is fitness or whatever. It's the feeling of of being able to pick up your grandkids without worrying that you're going to snap in half, you know.
Yes.
That's what you're really selling. It requires that they go to a certain number of classes per month. And if you miss two in a row, you're on probation. If you miss a third, we're going to cancel your credit card. Yeah, you're out. Whatever. You could soften the terms, or you could give them more of a probationary period or something. But they need to feel, the problem with any of this physical stuff, like personal trainer, karate, any of that stuff, is that the real payoff is way in the future.
Mm.
And it feels really good to have a pint right now instead of rolling around on my back, in a Zoom class. So you have to bring the pain now. You have to bring the pain and the payoff to the present. And by creating this culture of like, look, you're out of here if you do that one more time, that brings the future back pain into the present. It's a different kind of pain. Do you see what I'm saying? It creates a pain in the now, a tension or a problem in the now, not maybe someday when their back doesn't, because they feel great. Oh, I can skip a class. I feel great.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, I flossed my teeth enough for one lifetime. I never have to floss again. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, phrase it however you want, but that is a way to do it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So doing stuff like that would allow you to increase your fees. It might not, but still, it doesn't feel like the lever. It doesn't feel like the biggest lever. The biggest lever would be increasing number of clients. So, and Zoom would be the way to do it, the obvious way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And even if we had... So just chatting to you now and sort of listening to all the stuff and ticking away in there. And I'm thinking, because we're limited with space at the studios, but maybe we have a class where they do three classes online and then they come in for a face-to-face.
Exactly. Class. Yeah. Because you said a lot of people do mix.
Yeah. I mean, some people are doing both. They're doing a weekly Zoom class and a weekly face-to-face class.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, we haven't offered a kind of a class where they're doing mostly Zoom and coming in once a month or whatever, once every 4 weeks.
Right.
But that might be quite a good thing to do, because then that gives them a bit of hands-on, and then they can go back to, you know, their living room floor with a, you know, they've had a bit of hands-on input. So that would be...
Yeah, I think, I mean, that does limit you geographically to a certain extent if it was a requirement.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a requirement and it was like a new thing, and this thing is like 25% more than anything else you sell per month.
Yeah.
And the new thing is that you can have, you can freely mix one in person per week with, I don't know, three or four. I mean, I don't know how many days a week a person can do Pilates and have it without diminishing returns, but I would think you could do it daily. I mean, I'm sure you do it daily.
Yeah. I mean, if we just, I think just moving something daily is kind of fairly important. And it doesn't have to be a whole hour.
Right. So you could create a new package that would give you the freedom to experiment with pricing without having to like raise it for 400 or 300 people and deal with the blowback from that. You could say, hey, we're offering a new thing. What's your highest monthly price right now?
£108, I think.
Okay. So you've got new £185 a month.
Yeah.
What is it? You know, create a premium offering, something that, and try not to throw classes at it. Try to throw experience at it. So like, what is the experience that you create that would be premium luxury experience for the cream of the crop subset of people who money's no object anyway, and they want to have this like pristine experience. I don't know. I have no idea what that looks like. Maybe they get champagne when they come into the studio. I don't know. Or some kind of
driving laws around here.
I suppose. Maybe not that. Right. But some kind of, I don't know, some kind of pampering, some kind of experience in the studio, like they all get a massage afterwards or something, or who knows? Whatever. I don't know. I'm just like, those are terrible ideas. But like thinking outside of the box, there could be something special about the in-person experience that is unlocked with that tier. So that is one thing you could do, but you know, create new packages and higher tier offerings. But I really think that it seems like the obvious choice would be to scale up the number of clients that are Zoom only. Because your capacity is, that's where you have all the extra capacity. You don't have to increase your costs, probably at a trivial increase in costs.
I mean it works really well. So we've really proved that we can teach effectively on Zoom.
Yes.
It can't possibly be the same experience as being face-to-face. But when I compare other stuff that I've seen, I mean, you know, there are people paying sort of subscriptions of, I don't know, 14, 20 quid a month just to watch somebody do on-demand videos, just to watch somebody have their own workout.
Yeah, we have Peloton. We pay like $70 a month for it. No one uses it. But that's not the business you want to run. Like, you don't want the gym business model. You want people to feel better.
No, exactly. And my whole 24 years of teaching has been getting to know people and making it about them. Mm-hmm. And that is just so important to me. And I mean, I've had teachers that work in that gym environment. They don't work for us. Because they're very much, they were always saying, can we move the classes closer together? But why? Well, you know, because then you're not standing there talking to people at the end of class or before the next one. No, knob off.
Yeah.
So we don't want that. If you want to go and work in that environment, get 20 quid an hour, you fully boots up.
Yep.
Because it's not, absolutely not what I want to do and never have done, which I guess is why we have that incredible loyalty with our clients.
I'm sure you're right.
Really important.
Awesome. Well, okay. So I think we've identified your opportunity for growth.
Yeah, thank you.
So before we wrap up, because I've been keeping you on for so long, before we wrap up, you need to tell me about your dog pricing story. and we can end on that.
This was so incidentally. So I have a small Jack Russell called Millie, and unfortunately, her bum regularly gets blocked up. As in, some dogs' anal glands get blocked up, so she has to have them sort of, what I call, get a bum squeezed. Regularly. It's a very depressing thing. So I was in another a vet store thing shop with a friend of mine, and she was in there for something. So and while I was there, I said, oh, how much do you charge for anal glands? And this guy, there's no polite way to say this.
Yeah, I know.
So she said, oh, it's £15. I said, oh, right, okay. And then she said, and it's £15 for the nurse. So I said, well, so it's 30 quid then? No, it's £15. And I said, but you've just said that it's another 15 quid from us. Yes, it is. I said, so it's £30. So why don't you just say it's £30? And she stuck to this thing. I said, okay, can I make an appointment then? I just want the anal glands done. I don't need the nurse. Names. Yeah, but you've got to have the nurse. I said, well, I don't want that. So I just want to pay 15 quid. I was just being.
Yeah, that's irritating.
And then the vet came out and he started arguing with me. And I said, just stop lying and just put what your prices are. You know, either it's 30 quid or it's not. Say it's 30 quid. And I said, anyway, I won't be booking in because my vet only charges me £13.50.
Yeah, for the nurse and the glands.
So the next time I went to my vets, I told them this. And I said, and actually, I've got an idea for you. I said, when I go to my coffee shop, I said, every 10 cups that I pay for, I get a free cup of coffee. could you do a loyalty card for Millie's bum squeezing?
Frequent flyer.
to keep me coming back. Otherwise, I might go down the road. So,
well, maybe they teach lessons and you can do it yourself. Then they could charge lessons.
No, I'm really happy to pay £13.50 to avoid that experience.
Yeah, talk about value-based pricing.
Absolutely. Just said that I think the loyalty card thing should be something that they ought to introduce.
Keep you coming back.
Yeah, I haven't done it so far. And I have to go about every 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, I think they know they have a captive audience.
Yeah, I'm going to send her out begging soon.
Yeah, pull your own weight, Minnie.
You want your bum squeezed? Get out there and earn some money.
The hard way. Well, this has been delightful. Hopefully it's been helpful in some way. And
it's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Good.
Really enjoyed it. I'm now going to flood everybody with it. So if you suddenly get a load of Pilates teachers tuning in, you'll know why.
I guess so. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm a big fan. And hopefully you'll keep in touch and let me know what happens.
I will. Absolutely. Don't you worry. You'll be getting there's another email from that mad woman in the UK.
Well, before we go, like, tell people where your website is in case they want to check it out.
NorthamptonPilates.com.
All right. There you have it. Maybe you'll get an influx of Zoom.
Maybe I'll get, if I have to do a class where I have to tone things down a bit or change my humor for the state, so be it. I can do that.
I wouldn't worry. Bunch of software developers sit around all day with bad backs.
Perfect. I've got just the thing for all of you. Neck, shoulders, you know, dodgy knees, dodgy hips, the whole shebang.
Excellent.
We can cover it all. But I'm not squeezing your mum.
And on that note... Well, thanks again. And keep me posted. Shoot me an email. I'd love to send out an update.
Thanks, Jonathan. Have a lovely day over in the sunny states.
Exactly. Yes, you too.
Take care.
All right, folks. That's it for this time. I'm Jonathan Stark, and you've been listening to Ditching Hourly. Would you like to learn how to get paid what you're worth? How about selling your expertise and not your labor? What about making more money without working more hours? We work through all of this together in the pricing seminar. Registration starts soon, so head on over to thepricingseminar.com to add your name to the announcement list. That URL again is thepricingseminar.com. I hope to see you there.